Finally, yet another change of pace and tone as we join our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster. Father Foster, as you well know, in 1967, Pope Paul VI went on a pastoral journey to Turkey, and I discovered that one of his speeches, I think, was delivered in Latin. So today I'd like to do the opposite of what we normally do, and I'll give you the text in Latin to translate into English.
It must be in the liturgy of the hours in the breviary. I mean, this speech or this talk, I think I've seen this before.
Profecto
convitas cum constantissima voluntate nostri coniungitur ea omnia quantum poterimus perficiendi. Ah, quae diem maturare queant, quo inter ecclesiam occidentis et ecclesiam orientis expleta communio redinte greatur. There's a double, that's the end of the sentence, more or less.
In his speech, Pope Paul VI uses the royal we.
Oh yeah, always he did, yeah. With our most persevering wish, doing all those things, as much as we will be able, which may be able to hasten the day on which complete communion may be restored between the Church of the West and the Church of the East.
Why don't we skip a little bit of that paragraph now and go on to the next?
Oh, this is, of course, actually the apostles. Since it is, we are most convinced. Cumbis. Versissimum sit nobis. Non aliud nomen esse sub cielo datum hominibus, in quo porti ad nos salvos fieri, quodque iistem hominibus tribure fraternitatem pacemque posset, init nuncium propteria pronis aureus audimus, quem Ioannes discipulus illi carissimus ab Epheso ad ecclesiae
Ad Asiae
Ecclesias misit.
What does all that mean?
Since we are most convinced that no other name has been given under heaven. This is from the apostles.
What is the word heaven?
Sub cielo.
Like sky.
No other name has been given under heaven to human beings in which it is necessary that we be saved. Then he quotes Acts 4. And which name is able to grant fraternity and peace to the same human beings? Yeah? Since we are convinced of all this stuff. Therefore, pronis auribus, with willing ears, we hear the message, that most beloved disciple sent from Ephesus to the churches of Asia. To the churches of Asia. And this is John's first words of his gospel, of course. Quod vidimus et audimus, annunciamus vobis, ut et vos societatem habeatis nobiscum, et societas nostra sit cum patre et cum filio eius Iesu Christo. That which we have seen and we have heard, we are announcing to you, so that even you may have alliance, if you wish, societatem, or union with us.
Communion.
Okay, communion with us, okay. And that our communion may be with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ.
Okay, one last sentence here.
Oh, that's enough, I have to go home.
No, come on. This last sentence here. I'll read it. Quoniamque in qualibet ecclesia cuius libet, loci, hoc divini amoris efficitur mysterium. Nome exinde locutionem illam tralaticiam profectam esse putemus. Ex qua variorum locorum. Ecclesiae inter se veluti sorores is sisters,
appellari consueverunt.
Oh, who wrote this? My predecessor wrote this. Homiletus Tondini, I can tell you right now.
Why?
I can tell from his style.
I was going to ask you that once you finished.
And he got sick then in 69, and I took his place.
You a good Latinist?
Ooh, wonderful. He was classical, but he was not obscure or unintelligible.
How can you tell that he wrote that?
Oh, you can see it right away. People, when they read a document, they say, this is Foster, this is not Foster. But you know this after a while. It's like music. You know, Mendelssohn and Beethoven are not the same.
And this is what kind of music?
This is on the, well, Mendelssohn side. And because in any church you want, of any place you please, this mystery of divine love is carried out. Isn't it, none, can we not therefore think that that traditional phrase has come from which the churches of different places have been accustomed to be called sisters among themselves? Was glorious. No, he was great.
What about Paul VI? What was his?
Oh, he was great.
He was very strict about language. No?
Well, yes, and the fact is, he had tremendous roots, and a thought, and a vision, and I adore him. And that was that the end of the story?
No, that's not the
end. Well, then they go on to explain the decree, and he says, "Yeah, couldn't we say that from this thing?" We have this expression that all the churches are sisters. Veluti, as it were, sisters.
Paul VI, I mean, for our younger listeners, he used to use the royal we. How do you say royal
we? Well, everyone uses the royal we. We tried to change this. And it never passed.
Meaning you.
Well, people in the office tried to change this. Started saying, I. Got it? And he said, okay, if the Pope says I and not we, well, then let's write I.
So it only started with John Paul II.
Yeah. The others just didn't have, Paul VI didn't. They just didn't have the courage or the idea.
John Paul I.
Well, I don't know, for 1 month he didn't.
33 days.
Yeah, not too much. But, I said, listen, friends, I protested. I said, if this man wants to say I, well, then let's say I. And you know what they said in the office? My boss was still in charge. Well, now he's in heaven. And he said, no, the Pope can't say that. The Pope has to say we, which drove us crazy because we would have these letters and encyclicals and I, but we had to think of we and not mine, but ours. Oh, it was a terrible confusion.
And in the end, you started using I.
No. But now it's going to be back to we.
Heartfelt thanks there, as always, to our popular Latin lover,
Carmelite Father Reginald Foster.